Hello, my marketing and entrepreneur friends. Welcome back to another exciting episode of the Let's Talk Marketing podcast, where I, your host, Katya Allison, get to explore the latest trends, techniques, and strategies in this world of marketing. Now, I had the privilege of chatting with Chris Dyer, a recognized expert on company culture, remote work, and leadership. With over two decades of experience, Chris has worked with major organizations like Johnson & Johnson and even NASA. And as a best-selling author and a keynote speaker, what a privilege. He has helped companies create high-performing cultures that really foster productivity, innovation, and profitability. That's what we all want, right? That bottom line. Now, his approach to leadership is both practical and very deeply inspiring, and his insights have really empowered countless leaders to build teams that thrive no matter where they're working from. And this is the work that we're in, right? Or this is the day and age. Now, in today's episode, we really unpack hybrid and remote working. And while on the surface you might be thinking, but Katya, I thought we were going to talk about marketing, do not panic. There is a connection, because marketing is a creative endeavor, and it can really be a challenge to foster an environment that gets like the juices flowing so that we can do our thing as marketers. And as more companies really embrace this flexible work model, sharing strategies for creating a strong, connected culture in a remote-first world should be top of mind for us. We talk about everything from managing creative teams remotely to the challenges of leading in a hybrid environment. And Chris gives us some real actionable advice on how to structure meetings, foster employee engagement, and encourage collaboration across time zones. Whether you're a leader navigating the challenges of remote work or someone looking to enhance your team's culture, his strategies are sure to resonate with you. So you know what to do. Grab your favorite beverage, sit back, and let's dive into it. Let's talk marketing. Chris, welcome to the Let's Talk Marketing podcast. I am so excited to have you on here today because we're going to dive into a little bit of kind of creating a great culture for hybrid and remote workers. So welcome to the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Let's start at the beginning, not the very beginning for you, but I'd like to know, and if you could share with our audience as well too, what is your current role? What are you doing right now?
Yeah. So definitely don't want to start at the beginning. I won't start with, you know, I was born in St. Jude Hospital. No. So I am currently a keynote speaker on company culture, innovation, communication, the remote work and hybrid work. I was doing a ton. I had a book actually come out right as COVID hit, like great timing for me, really bad timing for everybody else. And so I've done a ton around remote and hybrid work, and my organization that I sold in 2022 was 100% remote work. So I do, you know, I don't know, maybe 50% speaking, 50% consulting and training and helping organizations with whatever their unique kind of challenge is. Is it culture? Is it their leaders? Is it their flexible work policies? Is it, you know, having those tough conversations? Is it being innovative? You know, like, where's that rub? Because it's always one of four things, and it's either people or it's the process or it's the tools or it's the technology. And I'm really, really good at helping them with the people and the process part.
Oh, I love that. I can't wait to dive into it. I think for me, what was really exciting about having you come on here is, you know, I've managed teams remotely. I still do creative teams as well. I think are very unique to be able to manage and lead and, you know, get those creative juices going from a remote environment. Because I think typically you get energy from the people that are in the room, and that's where creativity goes into. So I'm really excited for us to dive into that stuff. In your job as it is now, what is it that you love about what you do? But I'm going to also, with the good comes the bad, I'm going to ask you, what could I pluck out if I had my magic wand? So let's start with the good. What do you love about what you do?
I just love it when I go in, whether it's I'm standing on a stage or I'm sitting in a small room and helping a team. When I hear that there was, you and I talked about this in the pre-show call, which was, is there one thing that someone can take away that's actually going to help them? And so when someone comes to me and says, wow, that one thing, that's going to make a big difference for me. I can take that. I can use that. I'm going to be able to go and change this interaction I'm having with my employees or with my team or with my boss or whatever. Like, that's what I love the most. I shouldn't tell anybody this, but like literally I could do this job for free and like that would be payment enough. It's not, by the way, but like, you know, it fills my soul. It fills my soul, right? You know, not my pocketbook, but my soul that, you know, that people can have those kind of outcomes. And that's a big deal for me.
Yeah. It sounds like what you really like is inspiring people. And I think that that's pretty fantastic. But like I said, with the good comes the bad. So if I had my magic wand, what would you have me pluck out?
Well, for all the years that I've been running companies, it's always been this, you build, and you know, barring a pandemic or a recession, like things build and are relatively predictable. The world of being a speaker is the most unpredictable thing I've ever been involved in my life. I can go a month and like go, does no one like me anymore? And then the next month, I have like 9 bookings, and like it's so weird, right? You, no matter what you do, you can't make it consistent. It's just this, and every speaker I know, famous to just starting, they all say the same thing. The ebbs and the flows are just redonkulous, and I don't like it. So,
A little bit more consistency. I don't think that's too much to ask for, but it's also good to know that you are amongst friends and it's not only a unique problem to you. I think while that doesn't solve it, it's kind of nice to know that this is also kind of part of the process of being a speaker, right? Yeah.
It gives us something to talk about at the bar, that's for sure.
There's never a shortage of things to talk about when you're at the bar. What can I say? Well, let's dive into it. I want to better understand from your viewpoint, what are some of just kind of the unique challenges that leaders have in this sort of whether it's hybrid or remote work?
Well, when it comes to hybrid and remote work, they're generally doing everything wrong. So where should they start? And what I mean by that is that they're taking the model, they're taking the playbook of traditional work and trying to shove it down the throat of remote or hybrid work.
Yeah.
That's wrong. I mean, listen, at some point, people were riding a horse and then all of a sudden they had the option of driving a car. And you didn't see people taking, you know, saddles off the horse and putting it in a car, right? And yet that's exactly what we're doing with remote and hybrid work all day long. We're like, this is all I know. How do I try to do this here?
That's an amazing analogy. I just had to interrupt to tell you that because that's what I'm going to walk away with.
You can't do it. And so we have to reinvent how we work. Now, if you're lucky enough and the people you work with are within 2 or 3 time zones, you know, you can kind of patch something together and make it work. If you're working with people that are 5 or more time zones away, you're working asynchronously. And like, that's a totally different way to work. And so you might just be like filling people in on a document or in Slack about where you left off, because they're going to pick up where you left off. They're going to wake up in the morning and just keep going with whatever you did. And you're never going to have those moments, at least not consistently, those moments of collaboration or talking. And then you have to use things like, you know, Loom or Marco Polo or whatever, like leave someone a little video message so they can get that energy, because they're going to like start working in South Africa while you're asleep or whatever. So
yeah,
it really depends on the structure and who you're working with and what that looks like. But really, meetings is where, to get very specific, how we meet is really where people get screwed up.
I can definitely attest to that. And on the subject of meetings, because I think that this is, and I'd love to hear your opinion on this. I don't know if we've overcorrected and we're like, we have to have a meeting for absolutely every discussion. To me, one of the things that I've observed is that we think we need to meet and we are not really quite sure what is an asynchronous work environment, like workflow, and then at what point do we need to meet, and like who, like what that meeting consists of, right? I think like we're so used to when we do work in person to book the meeting with all of the people, and then it's naturally or organically, and actually probably not even organically, going to magically, you know, scratch the itch of whatever that meeting was intended for. But I almost feel like at this point, when it's hybrid, but especially like if it's all remote working, you almost have to be so focused in those meetings and know what it is that you're supposed to accomplish, and then figure out, do you have the right people? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. So you said a lot there, but let me try to break some of it down. First of all, absolutely. Should this be a meeting? No, it would probably be an email most of the time or a Slack message or something, right? And so if the answer is yes to that, then you need to make sure that you are trying to have less meetings. Number two, the point of a meeting should be to deal with the thing that you're trying to deal with and hopefully not have another meeting. Like if you're... And every time you have a meeting, the goal is to have another meeting, you're doing it wrong. Okay. And we just sort of get in these habits as human beings of like, well, let's just meet again and make sure everyone's on the, you know, no, let's make this meeting count and be done. Now we can't always do that, but like if that's the goal that we can try to be done, that's really important. So I often help people, help companies create signposts. So
okay,
in a traditional company, where let's just say like the average mom and pop, we're in the same building, we're all, you know, there's 20 people or whatever. It's very, very easy to pop over in the conference room. It's very easy for the boss to open the door and go, hey, everyone, let's have a quick meeting. I mean, think of The Office, right? Think of the TV show. Like Michael Scott walks out of the office, hey, everyone in the conference room. Like that's a very normal thing for the average company.
Yeah.
Right? But that the signpost was, hey, we're going to meet. Or I notice that you go into the boss's office and have a conversation, and then you walk out and you look like you're smiling, and I go, okay, now I know I can go talk to the boss because you were supposed to tell them that thing, and now I'm going to follow up with them about the next part of that thing. And so that signpost was created. I can see what's happening. Or if you left the office and you look pissed and upset or like, you know, not smiling, I'm like, ooh, I better talk to you first. Signpost. We're working remote and hybrid. I have no idea who you've talked to. I have no idea what's happened. And so we have to find better ways to bump into each other. And the ways to do that is to start creating intentional signposts for your people. Like, when do we brainstorm? When do we check in? Is there a daily stand-up? When do we just show up and like talk about our life? Like if that's once a week and just talk about, not talk about work and just have a moment to connect. Like, are those built in, whether that's on a regular basis or like you have a name for that meeting? And so people know I'm coming to this kind of meeting. And so if I need help, this is when I should ask. Or if I really want to connect better with Katya, this is that meeting when I can ask her some questions. I can find out more about her family life or like what's going on. Cause I don't feel like I got to know her yet. That's when it's the right time to do it. So what we did is we created a lot of like crazy meeting types, and we had cockroach meetings and tiger team meetings and ostrich meetings and tsunami planning meetings, and they were all different lengths and they had different focuses. And if you got called to a cockroach meeting, you knew exactly how long it was going to be, what the focus was, what your role was versus a tiger team meeting. You totally different set of parameters. And that we found helped people deeply understand what was expected of them, which they should do, how they should act, and they could show up and be awesome. And I will tell you, one of the big reasons that I did this was actually because of beer. Let me explain. I went to Germany years ago, and we, you know, fell in love with the beer garden culture. We went to Austria, we went to Czech Republic. It was great. And I came home and I said, we used to always have a summer party where like my wife's a teacher. She'd invite her teacher friends and the kids. And like, we might invite 20 or 30 people. We might get 10 or 12 to show up. Not great odds. I mean, you're getting half to 60% of people might show up and to this party, but it was just like a swim party. Mm-hmm. What are you supposed to do at a swim party? Right. It's sort of open-ended. And so we came home and said, we're going to have a beer garden party. You need to dress up or you need to wear German colors. We're only having German food. We're only having German beer or Austria. And you know, I kind of extended a little bit. We're having this particular thing. This is when it starts. This is when kids are allowed. After dark, there are no kids allowed. So it's like an adult party only. Like, I had so many rules. I thought, people are going to hate me. We invited like 40 people and 60 something people showed up.
That's wild.
And the reason I figured out later after reading The Art of Gathering, which is a great book, was that I gave everyone the rules and they knew exactly how to act. They knew exactly what they needed to do to have fun. They knew if this was for them or not for them. They knew when they could leave or when they could show. I mean, everything was figured out for them. And all they had to do was show up and have fun. And all of the social anxiety and all the worrying about all that stuff disappeared. And so this is why like birthday parties are so popular, because everyone knows like what to do and they know when they get to leave. Right? It's acceptable to leave as soon as we've sung happy birthday and the little, you know, kid has opened their presents or whatever. Like you can leave now. You have a cake, you're done. We're done. Because the rules are set. And so for employees, we were doing them a disservice by not being really, really specific and really, really intentional about which meetings served what purpose and what function. And you can get away with that in your 20-person office where you can see everyone. You can't get away with that when you have remote and hybrid employees.
I love what you said, and I couldn't agree more. I think people, one, they also really like structure in general, like tell me where to go, tell me what to do. Like I feel so much better. We actually have a Christmas party where we do the exact same thing as well too. And sometimes I get teased for being so scheduled, but at the same time, like no one's going to miss when we sing the carols. Because I have told you, we're going to sing carols at 7 o'clock. So if you can only make it for 30 minutes and that's your favorite part, that's the time that you should come for that. And then we open presents and then all of those things. So that completely makes sense. Also love the idea of having types of meetings with very specific like rationale. And also I would imagine that part of that you're describing is not just the type of meeting and the purpose of the meeting, but how the flow of that meeting is going to go. Is the expectation that there's going to be a pre-read beforehand? I love me some pre-reads because then I go into it kind of knowing what's happening. So I kind of want to dig into one type of potential meeting, especially because I really wanted to dig into like how we can work with creatives in this hybrid and remote work. One of the things that I had mentioned earlier was, you know, managing creatives is very unique to me. It's more emotional just in general. Creativity is not a switch. If it was, everybody would do it. So how do I structure a good creative meeting where I do want people to like share ideas and the goal would be to leave with a good creative plan that has action items at the end?
Yeah. So one of my biggest problems when we went fully remote was we had employees that were essentially operating on an island, that they would have a problem. They needed to figure something out and they would go spend 5 hours on Google and YouTube trying to figure it out themselves. When that person who now no longer is sitting, they're not sitting right next to them anymore, who they could just turn to them and say, "Hey, do you know how to do this thing?" Right? Or they might overhear somebody else talking about it and they could suddenly get advice. And so we created the cockroach meeting, which is 15 minutes or less. It's about one problem. There's no pre-read. There's nothing there. It is anyone can call it, right? You can invite anybody you want, 5 to 7 people, but it's totally optional to attend. If you get invited to a cockroach meeting, you don't have to go and there's no hard feelings and no one's going to be upset. You're too busy, you know, or you see the title and you're like, I don't know anything about pivot tables. I'm not going to that. Right? It's fine. And this gave everyone the freedom to be like, hey, this thing isn't working in this software. I don't know how to fix it. Who can help me? People show up. Oh, that happened to me. Here's how I fixed it. Let me screen share. And you get like one or two people who know. There's you who's asking for help. And then you end up seeing we get like one or two people who want to know the answer to that question too. Right? Yeah. And that's how we could move corporate knowledge around. But the goal was always start on we always started on time, or else you had to sing a song. We never went late, right? So the meeting, if it was a 15-minute meeting, I mean, at 15 minutes, it's click. I mean, normally they would go 7 or 8 minutes. The goal was always to end early. And, you know, no talking about our kids, no talking about the weather. No, there's no hellos and, you know, pleasantries. This is, this pivot table's broken. Who can help me? Hey, we pop on. Hey, show it to me. What do you got? Let me see the code. Yeah, I don't know about that. Maybe we should talk to Steve. Steve's really good at these. I'm not seeing the issue. Oh, there's Steve. He's on the call. Steve. Oh, yeah, yeah. Dude, you know. And like, you're just fixing the problem in real time like you would in the office. And okay, bye, everyone. Click. Done.
Yeah.
Just save myself 5 freaking hours of YouTube trying to figure out why this pivot table is not working. And again, that's how we creating something new that works as well or better as what we were doing before. And yeah. So, you know, it's so important that we have different meetings, different focuses, different time lengths. I have noticed so many companies that are like, every meeting is 30 minutes. Every meeting is 1 hour when it's hybrid and remote. And we end up just filling it full of junk.
Yeah.
Right? It gets too long. And I have leaders telling me I spend my entire day in meetings and I have to go home and do work, like my actual work, or I have to get up early, go in the office like 3 hours early to get anything done because I'm just
meeting
after meeting. If that is your life, please call me. I will help you and your company and fix that problem and get your life back because that is ridiculous. You should not have to do that.
So how do I get my team to be creative if that's the type of meeting that I want? You describe cockroach meetings, which have a specific time and it's meant to just kind of figure out the one specific item. But I want people to be collaborative. How can I foster that if even if I say, hey, you know, the intention behind this meeting is for us to look at a booth design, for example, and come up with ideas because we're going to XYZ event and these are what the overall goals are. What are some tips for creating that kind of collaboration and getting like the creative juices flowing?
So I would come up with a term, a word or an animal or something that represents that, what is it you're trying to do? And is it just like, hey, help, is this good enough? I don't know if the meeting is like, hey, is what I did good enough? Did I hit the mark? Is this the checkered flag meeting? Like, help me determine if I've reached the end of the race.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Maybe that's the name, checkered flag meeting. And it's, hey, let's come, let me show you my cool stuff. And everyone's going to help me make sure that I really am at the finish line. Am I ready to go take this back to the client? Or do I need to do another lap? Maybe this is only white flag. Maybe this is only, I got a lap to go and I need to go do a little bit more work, right? So we find fun ways to like add that wording in there. And now we're empowering people to say, I'm asking you to this meeting because I want you to tell me if this isn't right. I want you to tell me if I could do better. I want you to tell me where I've missed the mark here. Or to tell me to knock it off. This is great. Shut up and get it to the client. Stop, you know, tinkering and tink. Because as creatives, we can keep tinkering forever until the cows come home and the client never notices the difference.
Oh, that's so true. Now I also thought of like a name for this particular meeting, which I'm going to see if I can bring to life, which is like more of like a creative caterpillar. Because it's going to morph into a butterfly. And that's essentially what I want, right? Like I want something to grow and we're at this cocoon stage. So I love the idea of, you know, naming it. So people have that kind of mental and visual reference as well too. And they know what to expect. And more than anything, I want them to have a good time, which I also think is a great segue for talking about not just meetings, but like the culture of a company that is hybrid, that is remote. What are some strategies you've seen that are effective for creating a very strong company culture in this kind of remote environment? Because one of the things that I typically see are there are these, all of these kind of cutesy events that we can do, you know, like Halloween, you know, dress up, which of course that's fine and fun, but like you're not in person, so it misses something, or maybe that is part of the strategy. What are your tips or strategies for creating that strong company culture?
So when we do the like, hey, we're going to do Wine Wednesday, or we're going to force everyone to like go do these things or show up, and we end up basically there's a group of people this is always a hardship for because You know, it's like, well, you're doing Wine Wednesday, but now you're excluding the sober people, or, you know, you're making everyone stick around later on Friday because you're going to have this like thing, but, you know, someone's got kids to pick up. And like, you know, so I'm not a big fan of those. I'm a fan of those inside of the team if it's something they want to do that they've created. Mm-hmm. We used to do the whole company. We used to have a trivia Thursday, but it was totally optional. And from 1 to 1:30 on Thursdays, we had trivia in a Slack channel, and we had this one lady, and it was like her thing, and she made it up and she brought the questions and she did all the work on her own time. And it was fun. And if you could participate, cool. And she'd keep track of who the winners were. Not everyone wanted to participate, but it was something that was fun. So what we're looking for, though, is deep connection, right? So we want to go deep, not to have frequency. Frequency doesn't really matter. So here's what we did. We did an exercise called bonding. Now, if we could get it done once per day inside of our team, that was the goal. No more than once, but that was the goal. Realistically, if we got it done 3 times a week or 4 times a week, we were doing great. And what we did is when you had that team meeting of like 30 minutes or more that would happen mm-hmm. once in that day, you would start the meeting off by going around and asking everyone, how are you showing up? Not how are you, mm-hmm. not how's it going, how are you showing up? And we are asking them this question and we are expecting them to answer as the human being that we are, right? And everything going on in my life that I'm willing to share and talk about to this group of people. And again, this is why it's your team, the people that know you best, not Susan from accounting, who you only ever see at the holiday party. Like, that's not when we're going to do this exercise, okay? So we go around the room and everyone talks and they're going to do their thing. What's really important is that you as the leader, whoever's the most senior person in that call, or if there's more than one senior person in that call, they need to go last.
Yeah.
And what we're identifying here is if, let's just say I was a CEO and you were on my team and you were in that call, and we get to you and you say, I just found out my grandmother passed away. That's the moment when we stop the meeting and I say, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. What can we do to support you? Why on earth are you at work? You need to take the day off. You need to go be with your family. Like, that's a way that we can demonstrate empathy, show our people we really care, do something to support that person. Okay, immediately, what projects are you working on? We're going to jump in. The rest of the team is going to help you. You need to go be with your family. You need to go help them, and then let us know how we can continue to support you. Like, you do that in that moment, it's massive. Absolutely massive. You're hearing that they're really stressed, that they're feeling burnt out, that they have too many projects. Again, how can I, as your boss, can I help you? Can I step in? John's saying he's not busy at all. Like, this project got delayed. John's like, oh, I can come in and help you. Like, we're figuring out how we can help each other and support each other. If you go around and everyone says how wonderful and amazing they are, then you, as their boss, can talk about something difficult or maybe where you're struggling. But if anyone on your team is struggling, you got to shut up and you don't get to do it. And if you need support, you got to go uphill, or you got to go to a therapist, or you got to go to a, you know, whatever your level, VP level, you know, group of people, or a CEO group or whatever. Like, the worst thing you can do, people think they're being vulnerable, and what they're doing is like creating this really toxic culture where the boss just shows up and bitches and moans about their life, and the people feel like all the oxygen is out of the room and they could never talk about their stuff.
Oh, so true.
At the end of the meeting, though, we also need to ask everyone how they're leaving. And again, same rule, you got to go last. But you ask them how they're leaving, and this tends to be more of an answer about them as the employee and them as the member of that meeting they just had. I always make this joke. I swear every time I would be like, this was the best meeting ever. I solved all their problems. I am the CEO du jour. Like, I'm, and then I would say, but okay, how are we leaving? And they would go, I don't know. This doesn't feel right. I don't think this decision, I don't know if the client's going to go for this. I'm like, we were just talking for an hour. What? Okay. Like, they're suddenly telling me they're leaving feeling unsure. They're leaving feeling like they don't understand, like they don't, like they need more training. They need more data. And I would go, oh, okay, we're not there yet. And I could have left that meeting and then been pissed that they never went and did the thing they said they would. And I'm calling them passive aggressive. I'm saying they don't follow directions or a bad employee, when really they just weren't emotionally there yet. And I need to give them that space to say, can you give me a day to think about this? I need to wrap my brain about how this would really work. You know, I know everyone thinks this is a great idea, but I'm not seeing it. Right. And you go, okay, well, let's have another meeting tomorrow morning and then we'll see how you feel. That, you know, so it just gave us this like moments of safety for them to really say how they were feeling and thinking about the big things that we were dealing with. And that gave them that real connectedness to the team and to the leaders. And we never had anyone saying, I feel lonely, I feel disconnected, I don't feel the culture at all, because we were wrapping it up in meetings and wrapping it up in this exercise all the time.
Oh, I love that. What I hear is, you know, fostering intentional connections, right? One of the things that you mentioned that I really love is that it's not about the quantity, it's more about the quality, right? Like, it's not the frequency of, we should have these every Friday, every Tuesday should be Trivia Tuesday. And maybe that is something that works for some people, but not works for other people, because I myself feel stupid in trivia because my mind goes blank. So I don't get joy, and I just get anxiety from whatever trivia question is going to come up. So to me, it really does sound like you're trying to create this intention behind genuinely connecting with people. And that's what you really do have to think about. Now, we can't leave this conversation without just kind of talking about your 7-pillar strategy. I'd love to know how it can be applied specifically to sort of enhance this hybrid or remote work and experience and environment.
Yeah, the 7 pillars are my framework and come from the research that I've done for years around what makes a great company culture. And this doesn't matter if you're in an office or hybrid or remote. This is universal. So I'm not talking about what makes us good. Good is, you know, do we care about people? Do we have a mission statement? Do we, you know, do we have some words on the wall that we are, who we are, whatever. Like that's like the minimum viable thing you can do. And you can be good. And if your product or service is pretty spectacular, you can probably survive on that and be good. But if you want high performance, you want higher profits, you want higher productivity, you want to be a market leader, you want to one day be able to sell your business for a much higher EBITDA, like there, you have to be great at your culture.
Yeah.
And that means you have to be great at these 7 things. And I'll list them off. And if you want to dive into any of them, let me know. But it's transparency, positive leadership, recognition, how you deal with mistakes, measurement, uniqueness, and listening. Those 7 things you have to be really, really, really great at. And the best cultures in the world are really, really great at those 7 things. Not 5, not 6, but all 7.
All 7.
Right?
I think the one that I'd love to dive into is uniqueness. What do you mean by that? Because the others make sense, but the uniqueness is interesting.
Well, I'm so glad that you picked that one, because actually it ties in to your podcast. Uniqueness is how we figure out what makes us special. And that goes from everything from celebrating what makes each individual employee unique, what makes each client unique, but also how do we, from a marketing perspective, communicate what makes us unique in the marketplace, but what we do differently and how we do it. Right. And so it's that messaging. So great companies are able to, in a crowded marketplace, deliver and talk about what makes them special. Not that generic, we have the best product, we have the best customer service. Like in my book, I give this like silly example of, imagine you're selling those like boring yellow number 2 pencils from school. Like, how could you possibly go out in the marketplace and demonstrate that you're unique? It could be the box. It could be the packaging. It could be the story. It could be like how you're sustainable. It could be where you make your product. It could be the people that are behind your product. Or, you know, there's lots of different ways to think about how to be unique, even if there's a lot of other people just like you in the market. But good companies don't think about that as their primary. They just say, well, we make a good product, we have good customer service, whatever. And, you know, and so they end up selling on price all day long. We'll just sell it for 2 cents less than everybody else. And that's how they get their market share. But great companies come in and say, well, this is a sustainable pencil, or this lead is mined in the, you know, quarries of Madison, Wisconsin, or whatever, like whatever like special thing somebody will pay more money for. Or Beyonce once held this pencil, like whatever the thing is, like it, they understand that. But from the human side of it, it's that we think about our people in unique ways, not, I really like these three people. They're great employees. Let's see, they all went to Harvard. They're all men. They're all like, you have these like characteristics. Well, let's go hire more of those people. Exactly like that. No. What you want is, well, those people were good employees because of some other attributes. Not that they were male, not that they went to Harvard, but there's some other attributes that we can go find while still getting unique people into our business that think differently, talk differently, have other ways of seeing the world that will help us be more creative, right? And keep that innovation going in our company.
I think that you tied it really well at the end there with like innovation, because I think like that's a buzzword that so many companies that I've worked for, and maybe it's because I tend to be in the tech space, are always striving to be innovative. So I think, you know, tying that to company culture is really huge, because that is, it's a mindset. Now, what do you, as in general, we are all just kind of looking ahead, what kind of trends do you see emerging in this remote working environment? Do you see us all going back to like kind of this hybrid? Do you see, you know, us getting it kind of locked in a little bit better to be a good remote workforce? What do you see are just kind of the emerging trends?
The good news is that more employees have access to remote and hybrid work than have ever had it since the Industrial Revolution. And so that's good news. That's great. Even if, you know, the bad news is there's still more and more companies that are pulling people back, that are trying to have them all in the office because they haven't figured out they have to lead differently. And so it hasn't worked for them to keep, you know, to put that saddle in the car. It just hasn't worked. And so they're going back to horses, which is stupid. but there is more access. So my hope is, and I think the trend that we're seeing is, even if they're pulling people back, at least we know someone can say, hey, I really need to work from home today. And that's going to be okay. Even if the norm is you're in the office most of the time, there's now the technology and the trust and the, you know, the practice to say, you know, I can call out sick today because my kid is sick, or I can just work from home, right? Mm-hmm. And not lose a day. And your boss is going to be like, yeah, I'd be happy to have you take the hybrid day, you know, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Right. It's a benefit to the employers. And there's a incredible amount of companies that have kept remote work that won't go back, that haven't gone back. And so again, we see there being more of it. AI and a lot of the tools and things that are really coming to the forefront now are going to actually help with that.
Yeah.
But could also, if you want to think about a real crazy trend, a future of work trend, it's possible that AI could cause us to have to be in front of the person in order to trust the interaction. Meaning, if AI is answering all your emails and AI bots are doing all your calls, and there's possibly an AI video, like there, you could train an AI bot to do your podcast so well that you're not even here, that it's doing it for you. Like you would just put those questions that you sent me and an AI bot could technically do it. Now it wouldn't be as good. It wouldn't be as interactive based on my response, but like, technically it could be done. And so it could get to the point where we don't trust anything that's being written to us or any video that's being sent to us. And then we only trust if we're physically in front of the person that they will actually hear us understand us, and then we can convince them of something in that moment, because they're not really reading our emails. They're just taking it and they're dumping it into ChatGPT, or it's going to be done automated for them, and no one's really reading or understanding each other.
You're just going to have a bunch of bots talking to one another. Nobody's going to know what is happening. I feel like that one's from left field too. Like, I think you're right. I'm such a huge advocate for AI, not for like replacing that communication though, because maybe I'm already in that mistrusting of like, I don't know, did you actually write this or was this an AI kind of a mindset? But I love where your head's at in regards to just kind of the emerging trends and it being really much more accessible and acceptable for someone to work from home when and if they need to. Now, I have one final question for you. And that question is, if you knew then what you know now, what's the advice that you give to yourself?
Now, do you want me to, this to be marketing related?
Marketing or non-marketing? The world is your oyster. Some people give me one of each. But it's amazing how much overlap there is.
Yeah. So I would say from the marketing perspective, especially for anybody out there who is a CEO who's doing marketing or doing marketing themselves, is I wish I would have brought in a really good agency sooner. We did enough and we did okay, but I was being cheap and not spending the money. And the moment I found the right partner, which is hard to do, that understood us and could do a good job and wasn't, you know, there are plenty of terrible marketing agencies out there. But once we found the right one, like they kicked butt and they did such an amazing job. Like they made our business so good and the growth was insane. So I wish I would have gone and done that sooner and spent the money sooner, because the stuff we were doing was, we were in kindergarten and they were in college. I mean, it was just it was totally different, right?
I think you have to be strategic with your dollars, but you can't pinch them all because you're going to get what you pay for at the very end. So I love that advice for sure. Do you have a non-marketing?
Non-marketing was, I wish I just would have started saying yes to everything sooner.
Oh, I love that. Saying yes to anything that comes across your table or everything. Like just not being afraid of saying yes.
Yes, and yes, but. There are ways to get to maneuver that conversation in the right way. But it's always best if people feel like you're someone, when they come to you with an idea, that your first response is yes. Your first response is, that's so cool. Like, tell me about that. Talk to me about that. How would that work? Like, you're fascinated and interested, instead of being a guarded and walls up. And when I was starting off my company, you know, back in 2001, it was like, we don't have money for that. We can't do that. It was always like this sort of like, I felt like I was protecting our cash flow and protecting everything. And the moment I switched and it was just like, let's figure out how we could do that. I don't know if we can, but like, let's try. What would that look like? That created so many fantastic conversations. And maybe we didn't end up doing it. Maybe we ended up deciding that we weren't ready or it wasn't the right time or whatever. But like, just saying yes. I've heard many times people say, oh, we got to say no more often. And, you know, don't take so many meetings and conversations. That's never worked for me. It's always been better to take that call. I've had people say, hey, can I just get 5 minutes of your time? And I'm just like, oh, this is going to be a waste of time. And I would get on the phone with them and they were like, I'm like, this was not a waste of time. They're sparking so many ideas in my head. They're connecting me with people I never expected. Like, you know, it's always, you're going to have five stinkers, but like you get that one that's great. I think saying yes is the right move.
You can't get to the one that's great unless you accept the stinkers. And what a great way to end the podcast, because the thing that I'm really also taking away is your yes is a yes and a yes but. Yes, but I've got some questions is still a yes. And I think that is where like the creativity comes. Well, thank you so much for coming on here. I love all of the advice that you've shared. I've definitely walked away with a ton of insights and nuggets that I will get implemented with my team remotely. So thank you again so much.
Thank you.
Welcome back. I hope that you enjoyed today's episode. Let's dive into the key takeaways of today. Of today's episode is more of what I mean. Key takeaway number one, you have to adapt your leadership for remote and hybrid teams. The inherent challenge is not having the right leadership style for this remote hybrid working environment that we're in, right? For these teams. There is a lot of doing the same old thing that you did in person and expecting it to work in this environment. Chris's analogy is one that I love. It's of transportation. Would you put a saddle in a car just because it worked when it was, when you used a horse? I probably did a really bad job of explaining it, but if you just listen to the episode, which you should have, you are picking up what I'm putting down. The point is there has to be a shift towards more dynamic and flexible work models. What I really took away is a better use of meetings, setting clear agendas, have specific meetings to maintain focus and lean into the digital tools to help you foster collaboration without overwhelming the team. The goal is to create a work environment where employees know what to expect when they disconnect. This is crucial for maintaining this kind of right work-life balance and productivity. So don't use a saddle, my friends. Key takeaway number two. Building emotional transparency is part of connecting remotely. Now, I'm not saying that this has to be a kumbaya moment, so stick this out with me. This thought may even detract people, right? This whole emotional transparency, but emotional transparency and psychological safety are important to fostering an environment where people can collaborate and honestly, be creative. During the conversation, we explored methods that Chris has seen be really effective for just kind of deepening these connections for remote and hybrid teams. It's structured emotional transparency. And the key for this is also not pressuring anyone. So we're not forcing people like, how are you feeling? Let's talk about feelings. So in this structured approach, he highlights how you do this. His process of asking the question of how are you showing up today and ending with how are you leaving today can really open up conversation that fosters empathy and some support among your team members. Also, the emotional check-ins can help others from feeling isolation from working remotely. The goal is to foster connection and engagement. Key takeaway number three really leans into Chris's seven pillars to enhance company culture. Let's review Chris's framework, okay? So for his framework for enhancing company culture that includes the seven pillars are, transparency, positive leadership, recognition, handling mistakes, measurement, uniqueness, and listening. His belief is that adopting these pillars leads to culture that supports innovation, efficiency, and satisfaction among employees, which, let's be honest, is important for any business to really, really help foster this long-term success. The one that I had asked about that I really also gravitated to was uniqueness. The emphasis on individuality and company uniqueness is what I really took away from it, right? This involved diverse employee backgrounds and also positioning the company distinctly against competitors. So it's not just DE&I. Figure out what makes your employees special, right? It's finding what their superpowers are. This feeds into what makes your company special and unique. What did you take away from today's episode? Let's keep this conversation going. And a special thank you to my podcast editor, Johnny Ike. And thanks to you for spending your time with me today. Until next time, may the conversation flow, the laughter linger, and the outlook remain optimistic but grounded in reality. This is Katya, signing off.